Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at POWH.org.
Praise the Lord, everybody. If you were at home right now, could you say praise the Lord? I can hear that. Somehow or another, I hear that. I told our staff just a moment ago, we are making history for the church. As far as I know, there has never been a situation where that in a the church has ever been in a situation quite like we are in right now. And we are actually doing this the apostles' way. They went from house to house, and there was no buildings back in those days, and it was probably about 250 years before the first church building was built. But they broke bread from house to house, and that's what we're doing today. And I hope everybody is gathered around with your family, and you are participating in what God is doing for us at this moment in time. If you want to know what this church is all about, it's all about Jesus. He is the answer. He is the answer for the world today. It's all about Him. And it's not only about having good church, but church where the glory of God manifests itself and Jesus does exactly what He wants to do. Two ingredients that need to be paid attention to today. Number one, get your mind on Jesus. And second of all, let's have church. Just get your mind on Jesus and let's have church. And so we're here to worship. We're here to lift up the name of the Lord and let Him do His work in the lives of people and through His body, the church. And let me make a statement of what the Lord has been dealing with me about concerning some of the things that we are dealing with at present time before we go into the word of the Lord. God works with what is offered to Him. And proficiency is not only on the part of deity, it's part on the part of the instrument that He has been allowed to be offered up to Him and presented to Him, and what we're able to commit to Him and believe Him and yield ourselves to Him with. I do believe that this very well with 11,000 people globally that have died. The last time I looked at the statistics with the COVID-19 virus as an illness, as is officially known as, while an estimated 275,000 are infected with this. And it has been confirmed that it is in at least 177 countries and territories. Somebody asked me, do you believe that God has done this? My answer to them is no. I do not believe that God has done this, but I do believe that God will allow some things to take place. And I believe that God will work through such things like we are going through with this pandemic. What could possibly invoke such judgment? There's a number of things that could bring the judgments of sin upon this world. Greed, selfishness, all kinds of things like that. And all of these things are unto the Lord. And you study your Bible and you'll find out throughout the entirety of the Old Testament especially, there were things that would come to the people of God and God would use that as a tool to bring His people back to Him. And I believe that's exactly where we are at right now. My job as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, is to move past and way beyond politics. This is not about politics. This is not about crossing political lines. And it's not about what others think. We are in the last days, ladies and gentlemen, and we are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be prophets. We are called to be ministers for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a principality that we are fighting up against. And it is yet to be bound. And we are going to bind that through prayer and through fasting. And we're going to work our way through it. And God is going to help us get through this. And we're going to come out on the other side of this with, I believe, a greater glory of God than what we have ever witnessed and far past our even expectations. If anything that God is trying to get us to do is trying to get us in a predictable place where the blessings of God can come on us and work through us. And I believe that everybody who is tuning in right now watching this wants to be blessed of the Lord. And even in your living room right now, hold your hand up high if you want to be blessable. If you want God to bless you, you want God to bless your home. And so let me take you into the word of the Lord here today. Thank you for tuning in to all of our friends who are joining us either by the way of live stream through our church broadcast, or you are on Facebook Live. We thank you for joining us wherever you're at in your home, wherever the location is. We hope and we pray that you're able to get together with believers, with your family, and let's just have a church service here today by the way of the internet. I want to direct your attention to the 110th division of Psalm, where the Lord took me to this week. And I want to bring your attention to verse number one, Psalm 110 and verse number one. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, which is always indicative of the power. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord, verse 2, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And verse 3 is where the Lord took me, especially, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Let me extract the first portion of that third verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I am spiritually guided this morning, I trust, to lift from verse number 3. God said that his people will be willing in the day of his power. And I believe with all of my heart that day has come. And we are there even as I speak. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Where you're at right now, if you have anything in your hands, just set it down. Set your Bibles down, and would you clap your hands as a family? Would you clap your hands as a home? Would you clap your hands as a child of God and shout, I am willing, Lord. Let's do that right now. I am willing, Lord. I am willing. God bless you. I will tell you, you may be seated, but some of you are probably already seated right now. So, willing in the day of power. This particular text predicts the proper posture of the people of God in the day that God is going to manifest his glory and his supernatural power. It gives us a promise that God will manifest himself in his power. But then it gives us a glimpse, it gives us a view It gives us a resume, a portfolio, if you will, of where the people of God are supposed to be at. There is a prerequisite for the manifestation of God's power. It's not in a position of works. It's not in a position of man's own wisdom. It's not in a position of prestigious performance. Merely but rarely. I carefully chose those right there, merely, because that's really what it is. It's just merely, but at the same time, it's rarely adhered to. Merely but rarely. The Bible said that all they have to do is be willing in the day of his power. I wrote it like that intentionally as I felt the Lord directed me to do so. Merely but rarely in the day of his power. The only prerequisite to be a part of the manifestation of the power of God is that his people be willing in the day of power. Willing, I looked that word up and found out that it is synonymous in Scripture. When it's used as the word itself is used, it always is talking about being ready. Ready. Willing equals ready. Or desirous to be, or desirous to do. I am ready to be. I am ready to do. If my people will be ready to be, if my people will be ready to do in the day of my power. I want to ask those of you that are viewing with us this morning as his church, are you willing? Are we willing? Is anybody ready? Is anybody ready to do? Is anybody ready to be? We are in a place where we are desirous. When we're willing, that means that we're at that place that we are ready. When you say that I'm willing to do it, you are saying I am ready to do it. I'm ready to be it. I'm ready to do it. I'm asking you individually today, are you willing? Because when you are willing, you are in a place where you are ready. Are you willing to get out of the portfolio of your past and leave that all behind? And this is the reason why. We don't have any idea of what God is going to ask us to do before this thing is over with. We have no idea where all this thing is going to take us to. We don't know the bottom line of where this will end or what God will ask us to embark on. But if you are willing, if you are willing, if you can say, yes, I am willing, I am ready, I would to God that you, wherever you're at, would jump up on your feet, wherever you're at watching this, and shout it out as loud as you can. I am willing. I am willing. Because that is what the people of God must be able to say and do. We are willing in the day of his power. And God said, if you are willing and you are ready to do and to be, then I am ready to manifest my power, my glory, my miracles, my healing, my deliverance, my supernatural power. Child of God, don't you dare miss out on what is about to take place. This storm that we're going through is about to pass over. It's just for a little while. Shut yourself into your, read Isaiah 26. Shut yourself for a little while in your closet. Go into your closet, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. It's going to pass over us, and then we're going to come back out, and the clouds are going to be gone, and the sun is going to be shining, and God is going to do exploits through his people in the last days. And this church is not going to go down as some weak, anemic church, but this church is going to rise in the clouds as the church triumphant, meaning that we have overcome everything that could pose an opposition against the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The storm is about to pass over. And on the other side of that, there is glorious power. And we've got to be willing. We've got to be ready to do and to be whatever he needs us to be and to do for him. The quality is that the church is going to be willing. That is the prerequisite. That is the quality that has got to exude from each one of us. We have got to be willing. We have got to be willing to do. We have got to be willing to be. Are you ready to do? Are you ready to be? Come on, I feel an urgency in my spirit to give a crash course on the glory of God manifesting itself in the earth. God is not looking for super people. He is not looking for super people. What God is looking for is folks that will climb out of the dust of complacency, climb out of the valley of mediocrity, and plant their feet and say, God, I'm willing to be and to do whatever you would have me to do and to be. And you don't mean doing it your way. You don't mean doing it my way. But you mean I'm going to do it your way, God, the way that you want to do it. I'm going to do it the way you want it to be done. And that entails moving into a place of intimacy in relationship with him. Oh, how the people of God have got to move in this particular hour we're in right now into a place of intimacy with God on a personal basis. Not just what you get when you come to a church on Sunday, not when you gather together with people of like precious faith, but when you are all by yourself, when you're all alone and nobody else is around. When's the last time you just kind of had, let me say the old country saying, when is the last time you had a sit-to with the Savior? When is the last time you just kind of pulled up like Sister Nona Freeman, the late Sister Nona Freeman would say, and pulled up a chair and said, have a seat here, Jesus. I want to talk to you. The church has got to move into the realm of intimacy, where we're talking to God and we're seeking after God. And Jesus has promised his people, he has promised his church, if you will be ready, if you will be willing to do and to be in the day of my power, I will show you my glory. Let the church say amen. God may not be calling you to a 2-hour prayer meeting at this present time, but the question is, are you willing? If he does, God may not be speaking now, but when he does, are you willing and you ready to be and to do whatever he says to do and to be? God said, my people are going to be willing in the day of power. You ready? Are you ready? God's power will manifest where and when His people are willing. This is the only way that God is going to manifest His glory. And ladies and gentlemen, we are past the point of just coming together as believers. Maybe this is the reason why God has given us a little bit of a reprieve. Because I've been preaching this to this church for some months now. Because church becomes common to us. Church becomes common ground to us. It's just something we do. But maybe God is pulling us away for a time or a season where we will learn that absence truly does make the heart grow fonder. And maybe God is getting us to a place where we really do want to come together with the people of God, but not just to come together to see one another and talk to one another and fellowship with one another, but come together and join our faith together and let the glory of God fill the atmosphere like He desires. When my people are willing in the day of my power, He said, I will meet them and I will manifest my power there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my desire as the bishop of this assembly to see everybody in this place pushing me. Every day I get up, I feel something pushing me. Every day I get up, I feel something pushing me that the whole body of our local church is willing in the day of His power. Jesus, I am convinced with all of my heart, is about ready to come back to pick His church up. And I do believe this, that before He does, and the only reason this hasn't happened yet is because this is not all He intends on saving. But the reason why that He has delayed His coming, He's ready for everybody to get in a position that they're ready to see the glory of God manifest itself in such a way that it will cover the entire earth. This is the reason why we're seeing this pandemic sweep the entire earth. I believe that God somehow, no, He is not the author of confusion, but I believe that somehow God is going to get glory out of what is taking place. And God is going to place His people in a position where His people with one mind and one accord will begin to call on His name, that God will manifest Himself with power and with glory. Hallelujah. It was this past Friday. I don't know if it was Friday night or early Saturday morning. God alone knows. I really don't know what time it was when it occurred, but God took me away and up in what I don't know was a dream or a vision. It could have been a night vision. And I was in a building, and there were thousands of people in this building. And I was wondering to myself, what I'm doing here? What am I doing here? What are all these people doing here? This is a large building. There is thousands of people here. And I was trying to figure all of this out. And I asked somebody, I said, what's going on here? And they looked at me like I was strange. You don't know? And I said, no. He said, there is a wedding that's about to take place. And I said, is that right? They said, well, you ought to know. You're the one officiating it. Then my heart started to panic, because I didn't know where the bride and the groom was at. And I started running through that large crowd, and I began to go down through hallways, and I began to go into different places in that large building, in that facility, and I was looking for a couple. And finally I ran up on a couple, and I could tell in my dream this was them. But they did not have the proper wedding attire on. Nothing was in place. Nothing was ready. And I said to them, all of these guests are here. Your wedding is about to take place. Are you sure that you're really ready to be married? They said, yes, we are. But I said, you're not ready. They said, but we're willing. And then the Lord spoke to me, they're willing, but they're not ready. And if they're not ready, they're not really willing. Jesus is coming back. So there's a whole lot of people that are saying that we're willing, doing nothing to make preparation. They're doing nothing to make themselves ready. They have not got their proper wedding garments on. He's coming back for a church that's without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. We cannot meet our groom any way that we choose to meet him. We've got to meet him according to the standards that he's laid down for us to meet him. Everything is going to be right. Everything is going to be ready. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. He said, for if there first be a willing mind, there first of all has got to be a willing mind. That willing there is ready. First of all, you've got to get ready in your mind. You've got to make preparations in your mind. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to what he hath not. You listen to this because God is not concerned about what you don't have. Can I say that one more time? God is not concerned about what you don't have. What God is looking for is a willing mind. A mind that has made itself ready. A mind that has got set. That's why David said, my heart, my heart. That's not talking about the organ under the fifth rib. That is the seat of emotion. That also has to deal with the mind. My heart is fixed. What do you mean it's fixed? My heart is willing. It's ready. I'm set. And all God wants is for somebody to step up and say, I am willing. I'm willing. And are you willing to prepare yourself to be ready for the day of the Lord in his power so that you can see the manifestation of the glory of God in this earth? The number one thing that God is looking for, and I wish you would listen to me. Sure, this is affecting the entire globe. But let me speak to us, North Americans. The number one thing that God is looking for in the church of North America is willingness. People that are willing. People that have made themselves ready. Not people that are just walking around aimlessly wandering around without any idea, like a cart being blown across the top of the water with no weight. Whatever wind comes by blows them in that direction. Whatever comes my way, that's the direction I go. God's not looking for people like that. God is looking for people that have got themselves prepared, that are willing. Prepared in what, Pastor? Prepared in prayer. prepared in fasting, prepared in worship, prepared in praise, prepared in giving, prepared in work. Night cometh where no man can work. And so what we do, we must do quickly. Jesus is about to come back. And we've got to be ready in the day of his coming. So watch me right here. It's not what you're doing. It's what you will do that he's interested in. Let me say that one again, because that might have slipped by. It's not really what you're doing right now that he's interested in. It's what you're willing to do that he's interested in. It's not where you are. It's where you're willing to go. It's what you're willing to do. And for you to say that I'm willing says, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I've did the groundwork. I'm prepared. And can I say this today without being judgmental toward anyone? I'm just going to speak as if it were the words of the Lord coming out of his mouth and not mine. Too many churches are stuck in the mud of mediocrity. They aren't going anywhere, but God is looking for people that will say, you haven't seen my best yet. You haven't experienced my best yet. You haven't seen all I can do. You haven't seen all I am going to do. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for people that are willing in the day of his power. Isaiah 1 and 19, throw it up on the board. If you be willing and obedient, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Watch this. All you have to do is be willing and obedient. That's it. I'll say it again, merely, but rarely. All you have to do is be willing and obedient. Willing is the number one priority with God. And I'm telling you that we have not seen the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit in the history of mankind yet. The greatest days of the history of the church have not been wrote yet. The book of Acts does not have a closing out benediction in it. The book of Acts is still being wrote. This church is heavy laden. I'm speaking now of this local assembly, but I'm also speaking as the church abroad. This church is prophecy laden. It's heavy laden with prophecy, coupled together with somebody standing up and saying, it's going to come to pass. I've told this to this church many times. You can have prophecy being spoke over you time after time, but until somebody joins in with that prophecy and couples together with it and say, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen right here. Hallelujah. You don't believe that? The son of perdition, Judas, was chosen in the Old Testament. Did you know that? It was prophesied there would be a son of perdition in the Old Testament. That did not have to be Judas Iscariot. He chose to fulfill that role, because what has been prophesied has to be coupled together with the human will. And so we can have all of these prophecies laid all over the church. And God has promised this and God has promised that. Well, Pastor, why hasn't it happened yet? I wonder if you rose up and said, Lord, if you're going to bring that to pass, here am I. I'm willing. In the day of your power. Come on, 110 of Psalm, verse 3. I'm willing. I'm ready in the day of your power. So all God is looking for is for somebody to jump up on your feet and shout, I am willing. It was Genesis 24 and 45 that I came across the selection of Isaac's bride. Abraham has sent his servant Eliezer out to look for his son Isaac, a bride. And look at what the servant said to Abraham. The servant said in Genesis 24 and 5, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me. What happens if I find the lady? What happens if I find the one that I think is suitable? But she's not willing. Alas, master, what if I get there and the lady won't come back with me? What am I to do? You ready? What if the bride, here it is, what if the bride is not willing to follow me? The prerequisite for the bride was, first of all, she has got to be willing. And the prerequisite for this church is this church has got to be willing. If God is going to see us through this, which He is going to do, but He's not just going to bring us through this just to bring us through this. God is going to allow this to work an exceeding far greater work in us so that something better will come out on the other side of this. And what's going to come out on the other side of that has got to be coupled together with somebody that says, I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord. Hallelujah. Rebecca was selected to be the mother of thousands and millions of people because she was promised that in Genesis 24 and 60. Let me show it to you. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. Do you realize that that prophecy is still going forth right now? There are people worldwide that are bent on the destruction of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of Rebekah's seed. You ready for this? If you want the blessings of God, God said, I'm going to make your seed possess the gates of those that hate you. Do you want the blessings of God to come on your life, on your family? The first thing, you've got to go back to step one. The first thing that is the prerequisite, you've got to be willing to follow. The bride has got to be willing to follow the voice that's leading her to her groom. Somebody has got to stand up in the middle of this pandemic in 2020 and say, I'm willing. Whatever, God, you need me to do, I'm willing. Whatever you need me to say, I'm willing. Abraham procured the blessings of God because he was willing to take his son Isaac to a place called Yonder. And there he would place him on an altar. Listen. So let me dismiss this right in case you are not grasping what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not talking about what you have to do. I'm talking about what you're willing to do. See, I'm not talking about what you had done. I'm talking about what you're willing to do. Not talking about where you've been. Talking about where you're willing to go. Not talking about what you've said. I'm talking about what you're willing to say. You got to prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Because the fact of it is, I don't know what all I'm going to have to do. I don't know what all this is going to entail. Talking to somebody dear to me just yesterday or day before yesterday, and they were talking to me and asking me, when do you think this is all going to close out? When is this going to end? And I said, I have no idea. God alone knows when this is going to close out, when this is going to end. You say, are you trying to, start a panic? Are you trying to get people scared? No. I'm trying to be honest. We just don't know. But there's one thing we do know. We know who holds tomorrow. And we do know who holds tomorrow in his hands. And in that day, he said, I'm looking for people that are going to be standing there willing. The Bible said that a man cannot count all the costs when he sets down to build a building. Why? Because there's add-ons. There are things that you're not anticipating that you didn't count on being in that project. From one end to the other, just somehow or another, they just slip in there. They weren't planned. You don't sit down and count all of the costs to say, this is all I'm going to need, and I'm going to need nothing more. You don't know what all is involved, but I'm telling you, God, no matter what is involved, I'm willing. I'm willing. Abraham said, I don't know what all I'm going to have to do, but I do know if I'm going to have to take my boy's life, if that's what God is asking, then I'm willing. And it occurred to me, it was not the thing that Abraham did. It was not the fact that he took the boy's hands and tied them. It was not the fact that the boy looked at him and said, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Not the fact that tears were running down Abraham's face because he loved that boy. Not the fact that that boy probably was about 17 years old and probably was stronger than his own dad. And if he would have, he could have overpowered his own father, but he did not do that. But he got down to that place where he was ready to get on that altar when that angel of the Lord came down and stopped his hand. It was not what Abraham did that impressed God, but it was what Abraham was willing to do that impressed God. Take thy son, thine only son, and offer him up And this is where I gather that thought from, is the 22nd chapter of Genesis, verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Here it is. For God said, for now I know. Now I know you're willing. That's what God is looking for in 2020, in the midst of dilemmas and uncertainties and things that you did not ask for. None of us asked for this to come upon us. I thank our president for making that statement this week. None of us asked for this to come upon us. None of us asked to be thrust into the position that we're in. None of us factored this in. But in the midst of it, can we pull ourselves together and say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm willing to do whatever you need me to do. I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do. Folks that will just jump in and say, I don't know what all this is going to cost me, but I want him to know I'm willing to do whatever he asks. Notice what the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to close out, notice what the Apostle Paul said to the church and about the church of Macedonia and their testimony that they gave in 2 Corinthians 8 and 1. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction of abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Paul said, it was beyond their power. It was beyond anything that they had the ability to fix. Watch me. You know what this verse teaches me? You can go beyond your power if you're willing. There's something coming very quickly, and it's unlike anything that we've seen or heard of before. I've talked to some great men of God even this week. One told me there are some things that are coming to the church that are far beyond anything that we have not only seen, but we have not even heard of such things happening before. This is our hour to learn of him. And in all of the cases in a cave quarantined, David, because what happens next will be world changing. God is preparing to cover this whole globe with his glory. This is where we learn of him. And what we do the moment we come out of this, for what will determine how big of a role we'll play in this end time harvest. I probably need to say that again. What we do the moment we come out of this will determine how big of a role we'll play in the end time harvest. Willing, prepared, whatever you need me to do, God. This is where we get our direction from him. The moment he says go, we're ready, we're willing. Let's go. The moment he says speak, We're ready. We're willing. Let's speak. Hungry people out there. Oh, there's so many hungry people right now. People are so getting stirred up right now. They're concerned about prophetic events. That's got the attention of people. People are wondering what's going on. How does this fit into God's plan? This is our church. We who hold this apostolic message, this is our hour. But is that as far as we're going to go? We're going to go to the upper room and stop there? We have the Feast of Tabernacles. There's other festivals. There's other feasts that follows Pentecost. There's more beyond this, and we've got to be ready. And God wants to take us to places that are beyond our power. But we've got to be willing, way beyond our ability, but it's rooted in willingness. Oftentimes quoted classic statement from the Apostle Paul in Acts 21 and 13, Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? Why are you making me cry?" That's what he was telling them. He said, "Why are you wanting to make me cry?" The next phrase struck my heart, "For I'm ready." You remember, ready equals willing. I'm willing. Not to be bound only. Not only willing to go back in there and get beat up again like he did so many times. If every time he went back, he got beat up. I'm not only willing to get beat up. I'm not willing to be imprisoned, to be bound, but I'm also ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I've not gone as far as I'm going to go. I hadn't got there yet. I've not done all that I plan on doing. I hadn't got there yet. I haven't seen all that I plan on seeing. I haven't saw it yet. I haven't reached all the people that I intend on reaching. I hadn't reached them yet. Too many of my family is not ready. Too many of my friends are not ready. Can I even bring it closer than that? Too many of people that I associate with at church were in a state of Laodicea, and God is trying to shake us out of Laodicea and push us into the realm of the Church of Philadelphia. Both of those churches existed simultaneously. So do you think it's possible that God has allowed this pandemic? No, he's not the author of it, but allowed it to push us out of a place of complacency, to push us out of a place of non-appreciative feelings toward God and the things of God and church, and putting church way down on the list of our priorities. Putting prayer down on the list of priorities, when the apostle said, first of all, prayer be made. It's the first thing on the list, not the last. Prayer, supplication. The greatest possession that we have in this local assembly is the willingness of this local assembly. People that don't have to be came up to and prodded and asked to do something, but people that just make themselves available. And they see a job and they take charge of it. They take command of it and they run with it. And they see it through. If somebody is near you right now, why don't you reach over to them and ask them, are you willing? Because if you're saying, I'm willing, you're saying, I'm ready. I'm desirous to be. I'm desirous to do. Are you willing? Because that's the posture of the church in the end time. There's a lot of folks that are questioning right now. There's a lot of folks that are just acting like they don't understand. I'm convinced that in most cases, it's not what people don't understand that they have a problem with. I believe it's the things that they do have understanding of that they got the problem with. People want to debate, they want to fuss, they want to argue, I have an answer for you. If you don't figure it out, you don't understand it, the problem is not with your intellect. The problem is with your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Thy will be done. And Jesus said it in 7:17 of John, if any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus was saying, if you're willing to obey it, then you will understand it. And the reason why some don't understand it is because they're not willing to obey it. If you're willing to obey it, then the understanding will come. That's what Jesus said. How many understands and realizes that if you have received the Holy Ghost, it was because you were willing to open up your tabernacle and allow Him to come into your heart? That's the only reason you received the Holy Ghost. And it's the only way that God will come into anybody's life. You have to be willing. Nothing you're going to say to convince me, because you can't prove it scripturally. You have to understand anything. But you have to be willing to obey. And bring your vessel and present it to Him and say, here it is, Lord. I'm looking for our baptistries over the next few weeks. We have two on the premises here. I'm looking for our baptistries to be so busy that we're keeping them going nonstop all the time, where people are being drawn to a place that they say, I'm ready to have my sins remitted. According to Acts 4:12, in the only saving name given among men, whereby we must be saved. And according to John 3:5, that every man must be born of the water and of the Spirit if he wants to see God. The same way that everybody that was baptized in the New Testament church, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 12, Acts 19, Acts 21 and 26, baptized in the name of Jesus, calling on the name of the Lord. I'm looking for our altars to fill up when we come back together with people that are hungry to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and God in filling them with His Spirit. But guess what? I'm going to take it even past that. I believe it can happen right now where you're at in your home. If you'll direct your attention toward what God is trying to do right now and repent of your sins, throw up your hands in the air and say, God, I'm willing to open up my heart and my vessel. I'm ready. to open up my heart and my vessel. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And Jesus said, it shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. He that believeth, John 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. But when he was glorified and ascended on high, he sent back his Spirit, the Comforter, the Ecclesia, the Paracletes, that comes alongside to assist us. He sent the Comforter to live in the heart of the believer. You can receive the Holy Ghost where you're at right now if you lift up your hands, if you have repented of your sins and been honest with God and say, God, I'm sorry for every sin I've ever committed. I want you to come in and be Lord and Savior of my life. Take complete control. Throw up your hands and, so to speak, get out of the driver's seat and let Jesus take a hold of the wheel and begin to praise him from the bottom of your heart. That's the thing to do if he's giving you something, or if anybody gives you something, is to thank him and bless him. So throw up your hands in the air and begin to bless the name of the Lord and thank him for the gift of God. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing in the day of your power. Let's raise our hands all throughout the internet, all across these airwaves right now. Everybody that is tuned in by Facebook Live, those that are tuned in by live stream, I want you to lift your hands and begin to sing right now, and sing with our singers as they're singing this song of benediction. And just allow the presence of God to flood your soul right now. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, Jesus, right now. Take hold of my spirit. Take a hold of my life. In the name of the Lord. 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 Raise your hands and say, my tabernacle is open, Lord. If you've tuned in with us Wednesday night, we closed out by directing our church to go to the 91st Psalm and also the 84th Psalm, and to quote that upon your house I'm also going as far today to encourage those that have the ability to take some type of cloth, make you some type of oil, preferably olive oil. Anoint that cloth with olive oil and take it to the threshold of your house, the lintel, the side post. Anoint your house, the going in places, the going out places. Anoint it with oil and then pray that 91st Psalm, that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. I want to pray a prayer of faith over this audience that is watching right now. And I'm asking you to pray with me as I pray together. I want to say it one more time. We have got to dispel fear and replace it with faith. And believe that God is going to take care of His people. I am not a bit worried about one thing that is in this nation going on right now. The only thing that I'm concerned with is reaching people that do not know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to come before your throne right now. As your word declares, in the time of trouble, there's a place where David said, in the time of trouble, you would hide him in your pavilion. And right now, Lord, I'm asking you, we did not ask for this plague. We did not ask for this epidemic, this virus to come to our nation, nor did any of the 177 other nations that have been affected by it. It's just something that happened. But Lord, we ask right now that your angels encamp about them that fear your name. And we plead the precious blood of the Lamb, just like they did in Exodus chapter 12 with the Paschal Lamb. That blood was applied to the doorpost and the side post, the lintel of the house. And when the death angel passed over the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt, everything that had the blood applied to it, the death angel passed over, thus created what the Israelites still to this day observe is Passover. Let the plague pass over our houses. I pray for everybody who has been out economically, financially, jobs that have been threatened, jobs that have been lost. You said in your word that you would rebuke the devourer. And if we study in Malachi where you said that, it's through our faithfulness of giving that you said, I will do this for your sake. Only time in the word that you said that, but you would do it for our sake. And this is a devouring epidemic that has gripped this world. But Lord, we believe that if we stay faithful to your kingdom and to your cause, we bless you and put you first in all things. And we stay willing in the day of power, as you said in Psalm 100 and verse 3, then the glory of God will shine. Keep us clean in your sight. Keep us moldable. Keep us pliable. Keep us ready. Keep us cleansed from all iniquity so that righteousness can flow through us and the glory of God can shine round about us and through us. We thank you for the touch of the Master's hand. We thank you for everybody that has tuned in this afternoon. We ask that the blessings of God be upon their homes. and hands are lifted up right now, Lord. I see in the spirit tears streaming down some's faces. And that soft tear face is saying, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm ready. Do it, Lord, we pray. Do it now, Lord, we pray. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified in this nation. And also, Lord, as it's coming to my spirit, I pray for our leadership of our nation. As I said earlier, this is not a party line that we're talking about. We have got a man in office right now that you have placed there for a reason. I've got my own theories about that, but I believe that you've got them there for a divine reason. I'm asking you to put your hand on our president. I'm asking you to put your hand upon our vice president, Vice President Pence. And oh, how I relished in the words that he spoke over our churches, and he commended those that would meet by way of the internet and social media to have their services, and thanked those churches that are complying with the request that has been made by this government to do so. He prayed a special prayer of blessing over our church's finances, that we would come behind in nothing. And if you can take those children of Israel out of the land of Goshen, out of bondage, of 400 years of bondage, and set them into a wilderness place, Lord, you took care of them. Book of Psalms said their shoes never wore out, their clothes never wore out. Not only that, I read a place where it said not one sick was named among them. You can do the same for this nation. You can do the same for this church. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.